Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when they have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young child. And they saw the star, and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What I'm going to try and do, as I started last year, is try to have each sermon something to do with the birth of Christ. And so today we start with the wise men. But as we study, the story of the wise men is a story shrouded in mystery. From tradition, we seem to know all the facts and details. But as we study the scripture, we find that there are a lot of questions that we cannot answer about the wise men from the Bible itself. For instance, how many were there? We do not know. We don't know that there was three. And my guess is the only reason they come up with three is because of the three gifts. And no one knows how many there were. Where did they come from? We don't know that either. And how long did their journey take? We don't know that either. So let's talk about the wise men's journey a moment. First of all, it was a journey of faith. They left on a journey and did not know where they were going. They had no idea. They knew the Savior was supposed to be born, and they followed the star, and they had no idea where this was going. Just to find out, remember, when they got to Jerusalem, they asked, where's Christ being born? They didn't know they were going to Jerusalem. The star led them there. So they didn't know where he was. And then that's when they found that it was Bethlehem, because of all the prophets and all that were there. So they didn't know how long it was going to take when they left the journey. And it wasn't like getting on a motorcycle or a car today and taking off. You know, I mean, a journey there. Most everything around there is desert. And also, it's a pretty harsh journey. That probably just to do 100 miles would take a while. So we have no idea how far they came. And how do you prepare for something like that when you don't know where you're going, how far you're going, or anything else? All they know is they had to find the Savior. That's the only thing they had on their mind. And they were following a star to find the Savior. So the wise men did not know a lot. Not much at all. They simply had to follow the star, and their journey was of faith. of what they believed in. They knew Christ had to be born, and they were going to find out where he was, whatever it took. And there are other examples, and I'm just going to give you one, which we all know a lot, is Abraham. You know, when God called Abraham, he had no idea where he was going. Either he knew he was going west. That's it. He didn't know what city to go to. He didn't know nothing. Not until halfway into the journey, which was roughly, if I remember right, 500 miles, something like that, did God finally say where he was supposed to go, specifically. So again, he uprooted his whole family. Said, come on, we're moving. Where are we going? I have no idea. We're just going that direction. How would you do that today with your family? Think about that. They would look at you like you're crazy. All I know is God wants us to go that direction. And these wise men are doing basically the same thing. They knew why they were going, but they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how long it was going to take to get there. They didn't know any of that stuff. And yet we have another example of Abraham doing the same thing. So God's journeys are always of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our lives are a journey of faith. Everything we do is in a journey of faith. And the wise men left the comfort of their own home to find the Christ child, not knowing where they go. I mean, it's one thing to say, like my wife and I went to Pennsylvania. We knew we were going there. We knew the route we were taking. We knew how long we were going to spend there, what day we were going to come back. But this wasn't that way at all. This was totally by faith when they took this journey. And they left the comfort, because getting on a camel or a mule or whatever riding across the desert could not be the most comfortable thing. And God would have us in our lives leave our comfort zone to find out what he wants us to do. There's lots of lessons here to learn from the wise men, what they were able to do, what they wanted to do. And the next thing we see is the wise men went. There was a reason why they went. They went there to worship. The purpose of the wise men's journey was to worship. They came with gifts. Gold, which represents wealth. It was a gift generally given for kings. Well, this was the king of Israel. Frankincense was a sap of a tree that was dried and hardened. It was used as incense to worship God. So this shows his deity. Myrrh was a fragrant perfume that was used in holy atoning. They used it a lot in death. And all. So this speaks of his death, going to the cross, and also of his humanity. So Jesus Christ was the Son, being the Son of God. So worship also involves another thing. When you worship somebody, it involves sacrifice. Was there a price to be paid for the wise men to worship? Sure was. The journey itself. It wasn't an easy journey. And again, you don't know where you're going, how long you're going to be there. That's a sacrifice in itself. How much money should we take? I don't know. I don't know how long we're going to be going. How much food should we take? How much clothes should we take? Well, I don't know. Think about some of the things they had to think about going on a journey. And again, we don't know how big. I forget the name of these guys. These wise men were extremely intelligent. Maybe the name will come to me. They were a certain name to these wise men. They were high in ruling in different countries and all. They were extremely intelligent people. In a sense, they were kind of scientists and researchers and all. Magi, thank you. It came to my thing, I couldn't get it out. It's an interesting study to find out who these people were. But so they weren't stupid, is what I'm trying to get over to you. And yet they took this journey, not knowing. And that was a sacrifice in itself. It was not comfortable again, it was downright dangerous. Because it was so easy to get a band of people, you know, down in the desert to come over and kill them, take them. So they sacrificed their own comfort to find Christ and to worship him. Then I thought of David in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. I'm reading the middle part of the verse. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, which does cost me nothing. David would never sacrifice something to the Lord that he got for free. It had to cost him something to worship his God, to present something to his God. And the same thing should be with us when we worship. And then, I like one commentary says, when a person gets up in the morning to come to church, that's a sacrifice. Because you could have stayed there in bed. You didn't have to get up. But you got up anyhow, and you presented yourself and came to the Lord. That, in a sense, is sacrificing. Same thing with your money, your tithing, your time that you give to the Lord. What you do for God is all the part of sacrificing. God wants most of all from us is you and me. Self. We got to get rid of that self thing that destroys most of it, that keeps most of us from getting the blessings we should be getting from God. And God's not going to deal with us or bless us the way we would be blessed if we were just simply putting God first and putting us second. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why living? We're now in the New Testament. We don't go killing animals for sacrifices anymore. Now he wants us to take our body and everything that's in our lives and present that to the altar as a living sacrifice. We're to do things now. It's a continuous thing. And the thing that always gets me with this verse is holy, acceptable unto God. And this is the key words to me, which is your reasonable service. This isn't something you pray about, go out of the ordinary and do. This is what is reasonably expected from you from God for each of us to do. I haven't got time. I haven't got the money. I haven't got this. I haven't got whatever excuse you've got. It's not reasonable. And when this happens, and when you start doing this, you become a changed person. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, which is the last verse of what I read this morning in our text, it says this, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Isn't it interesting that after the wise men worshiped Christ, they could not go back the same way they came. Having met God, one never is the same again. Jacob wrestled with God and never walked the same way again the rest of his life. He had that hip thing. Isaiah stepped into the presence of God and proclaimed, "Woe is me, for I am undone." He was a changed man. Job questioned God over and over again during that time. And then God shows up and starts talking to Job, and this is what he says, "I'm speechless in awe. Words fail me." Because he became a changed person. And that's what happens when you get closer to God. You become a changed person. Things start changing in your life. You start doing the things God wants you to do. And then what happens? God, like I keep telling people, God will not be a debtor to you. He keeps bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing it back. I have been trying for years to become the word God's a debtor to me, and it hasn't worked yet. God won't do that. The more I give, the more he keeps giving back to me. It's Christmas time, and we hear the story of the wise men. Oh, by the way, I probably said this before, but just to clarify, the wise man was never at the manger, okay? When he went, if you read the scripture right, they went to the house. Actually, Christ was probably between 1 to 2 years old when they actually seen him. So the manger, oh, how that got started, I don't know. But that, again, tradition. Christmas time, we hear the story of the wise men. They were wise because they had faith. They were wise because they sacrificed, and they were wise because they worshiped. They were changed forever, and all because of a child, Christ Jesus the Lord. How about you? Are you going to look for a change in your life this Christmas? Find Christ in a way you've never found him before as we celebrate his birthday? I can guarantee you that there'll be a change. I don't care where you're at spiritually right now, there'll be a huge change in your life. Things will be different. Step out in faith and seek him as the wise men did. Start that journey. Sacrifice. Worship. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.